If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter. Yay. With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
A podcast for Bonnaroopians by Bonnaroopians. The What Podcast. Listen on all your podcast devices, whether it be your phone, your computer, the voice in your head as you self-quarantine for the next 6 months. Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, even Lord Taco. He's pressured us to allow him to talk, I guess.
Hey.
Too big to keep off. That's great.
All right, so here we go. We're postponing. I have bad news. We're postponing the What Podcast because of self-quarantining. I don't mean to make light of it, but we're putting off Bonnaroulette for next week and going to talk all things... Oh, God. All things COVID. Now, I will say this before we get into this. One of the worst cups of coffee I've ever had in my life this morning. Guys, here's the thing. I don't want a artificially flavored bean in any form or fashion. It is useless. It makes me angry. I am in a terrible mood because of it. It is a praline flavored bean. And even worse, I bought the ground version of it, not even the whole bean.
Why?
I made a mistake. I was in the store.
You were reaching for toilet paper and you got praline flavored coffee instead.
Ding, ding, ding. I was at a store. So we moved, right? So we're now in New Orleans. And so I went to a store that I'm not familiar with and I was in a rush. I had to get back to the house to finish dinner. We needed a new thing of soy sauce. So I had to run out to the store and I'm just picking up things in an emergency. So I was like, okay, I'll just grab some toilet paper. I'll grab it. And then I grabbed some coffee. I was like, oh, it's a local bag of coffee. Adorable. And I didn't get home and realize that's when I bought a praline flavored bean. And now it has irritated me. Damn you, COVID-19. Making me buy the wrong coffee.
All right. But does the house smell good? Does it smell like praline?
You know...
Because, see, that's the thing about that flavored coffee is it smells pretty good, but it doesn't taste any good.
It tastes disgusting. And, you know, the smell does seem nice, but there's no way it's going to fill up the whole house. There's no way. I don't know. Maybe Craig knows better than I do, but I don't know how the house smells. But I sure as hell know the praline flavored coffee not going to change anything in this house. It's 150 years old. It's not going to work.
All right. So
you bought 150-year-old coffee?
Yeah. Thanks, Taco. Right? Thank you. All right.
We've identified the problem.
Yeah. I'm trying to, what I'm doing is a little thing called stalling because I don't want to talk about this. This is not something I wanted to talk about.
No, it's not a happy topic, and it's a weird topic because as soon as we say anything, it's already changed. And
good point.
We don't know how it's changed. So yeah.
Did you wake up this morning, this being a Saturday morning, did you wake up this morning feeling better about it?
That's a great question. And that's an interesting question because things changed overnight. We're going to get into it here talking about Chattanooga in particular, which is where Taco and I are. You are in New Orleans and I have no idea how things are where they are. I'd almost be curious if we could figure out a way to sort of gather some of that kind of information. I woke up this morning to a New York Times story about a Hixson man. For you guys who don't know, Hixson is a suburb of Chattanooga. This guy now has 17,760 something bottles of hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. He and his brother drove up and down Tennessee, Kentucky, buying every bottle of hand sanitizer they could get, thinking they would sell them for anywhere from $10 to $70 on online, and Amazon and eBay shut them down.
Yeah.
So yay, Chattanooga. Yay, yeah. This guy for trying to take advantage of a horrible situation. And even, I mean, I don't even know what he's doing being quoted. But look, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to set his family up.
Sure, I bet. All right, look, I have guys, I have a hot take. Okay. This is a massively hot take. This guy's a prick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This guy is a total prick. Him and his brother are absolute jerks, and there is not a chance that there isn't people around him. He's in trouble. He's in a big load of trouble because his neighborhood they're eyeing his garage door, ready to kick it down.
Yeah, the only good thing he could do would be to take that U-Haul that he rented and
live in it. Drive
it. Well, live in it or go find a parking lot and start giving away hand sanitizers.
Yeah, he needs. But here's the thing. Again, I've never thought that the hand sanitizer works. You know, anytime I'm on the farm and somebody gives me hand sanitizer, I say to myself, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me feel okay for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It never feels like it's actually clean. I mean, have you ever, look, Bonnaroo's the perfect example of why hand sanitizer doesn't work. You put it on your hands and then you look at your nails and they're still covered in black.
Oh, listen, the last time I used it was at Bonnaroo, probably second, third year.
Uh-huh.
That's all I used. And I left Sunday, as I did at that time, went to that McDonald's across the street. Washed my hands and it looked like mud.
Right.
I was bleeding into this. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And I've never used it ever since.
It works for me. I think it tastes great.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Was that Craig? Is that Craig?
Craig dialing in.
Yeah. Again, regular bar and soap. This is not hard. You know, just regular bar of soap. By the way, I hate to be this guy. But the hand sanitizer, not good for the environment. It's in plastic bottles. Why don't you just use a bar of soap? Carry it around with you, around your neck, like an old-fashioned hipster. Wear soap around your neck.
Soap on a rope. I like it.
Yeah. Who doesn't love that?
I like it.
All right,
What are we gonna do here?
This is the number. Let me just go through the numbers as of the total cases: 1629, total deaths 41. 46 states in the District of Columbia. There's 138 travel-related cases, 129 close contact cases, under investigation 1362, total cases being 1629. So the House passed a virus aid bill after Trump declared the national emergency, probably 2 weeks too late. And then the big one that, you know, I think the, you know, rich white people care about, the stocks roared back. So, you know, they lose 10,000 points over the course of a few days and they get 2,000 points all back on Friday. And, you know, you're going to start to see the narrative all focused on the around Wall Street. And once the markets start bouncing back, then everybody starts to get a little bit more confident, right? When we basically can't test anyone. We still can't test anyone for anything.
Let's do this.
The Utah Jazz have more effectively test people than the actual federal
government. Let's do this. Where are we on this? You and I. Where are you
personally?
Me and us, where are we on this? Because, I mean, everything is shut down. I just, went to the store and the guy said, you better get multiples because Walmart closes on Monday and the gas stations are going to close after that. And then
stop it.
Yeah. The official word that I got is if anybody tests at a Walmart, they're going to close that Walmart for a week and clean. So, you know, I mean, we're being angry about it. We're making light of it, but you know, all these things are shutting down. Do we feel like they're shutting down because they know something, or is it just a total panic?
Well, see, this is the part where you mentioned earlier. It's really a different world where you are. And again, I think that your point is a solid one. I would love to hear where you are and your experience with this. How is your local community responding? Send us a tweet. Send us a message. Send us an Instagram message. Look, I can't wrap my head around the news that I'm reading from Chattanooga. Look, I'm still connected to all these things and you guys and my friends and my local news sources. Chattanooga is reacting to this like it is another 9/11. And
it's worse.
It's way worse. Even wrap my head around that because New Orleans is acting. So New Orleans is different, I understand, but this is the way that they're reacting. This is a hurricane, and they're going to wait until it makes landfall. Until it makes landfall, it might just miss. And that's the way everybody is responding. Now, the mayor here has taken, you know, action, and she's shut down all of the just like everybody else, has shut down all of the mass gatherings except for her $1,000 plate dinner for 1,500 people. She didn't shut that down. Either way, she shut down all of that, and the schools just now decided to close yesterday. So, you know, the normal government operations are shutting down just like everybody else, but everything else, it's business as usual. Nobody's really worried about it at work. Nobody's worried about it at restaurants. Nobody really is operating like this is something that they need to totally change their life about. But yet when I look at the news in Chattanooga, I mean, you might as well say that oxygen is going to, you know, blow your head up.
Yeah. Taco, jump in if I'm missing something. Our mayor yesterday shut down all our Tivoli, our Memorial Auditorium, Finley Stadium, the library, schools. We being the newspaper, you can now work from home if you have that option. We are going to stop printing our sports section next week.
Well, there's no sports. So
there's no sports. Yeah. High school sports. I kind of laughed yesterday morning when I got up in our newspaper, the SEC and the NCAA had canceled, all sports, but SEC spring football was going to continue. They decided late yesterday afternoon that was not going to happen, as we knew it would. So, yeah, there's no sports to cover. So we're going to stop printing a sports section. We're going to fold in what we have into our regular into our business section. Our entertainment section will probably print this week, but not the next because there are no events. So all the concerts that were coming, to our venues have been canceled.
Okay. Can I ask just a random question that means nothing to anybody, but seeing papers struggle the way that they are struggling just in general, do you see them using this opportunity to eliminate sports entirely?
No, okay. No. It's a fair question. No, we're a different paper. We are individually owned by one man out of Arkansas. So we are not corporate, and he is a huge newspaper guy. So we're going to keep fighting as long as we can fight. We're the rarity. So no sports, look, sports drives the train, sports and business and food. That's what people care about. And
I think I also read that they're going to remove the paywall online for articles related to the coronavirus. That was actually
a really good point because the Times Free Press in Chattanooga is one of the very few that are doing this. New York Times is not doing it.
Right.
Yeah. And I think we've done a terrific job if we pat ourselves, but this is what we do. I mean, the newsroom yesterday, just like 9/11, just like when tornadoes, everybody just sort of, they know what they have to do and they start doing it. And no one else has the resources that we do. So,
but there's obviously been a difference from Monday to Friday. Now,
absolutely, there's a difference from Wednesday to Friday. Yeah, I mean, I spoke on Sunday, if you remember, if we can get into that with some of the predictions of what might happen
if you followed me on Twitter. And I'm not plugging to follow me at Brad Stinks, but follow me at Brad Stinks. The thing that I said on Sunday was, get ready, Monday's going to be a bloodbath.
Correct.
And then what happened? I got news on Saturday that Coachella was going to cancel. And again, I may be wrong about this. I have no inside information about this part, but I have no way to think that they're going to be able to take 150 artists and move them 5 months down the calendar.
There's no way.
Look at all the conversations that we've had with lineup people, or go back to the Brian and Steve episode and how hard this was for them to put together. The idea that you can pick up 150 artists and not just do it once, but twice, five months down the road, it seems literally impossible.
The number of questions that keep coming up are mind-boggling. Just to use, again, go back to sports, and we can talk about music because that's usually what that's primarily what we do, but eligibility. The spring sports calendar stopped before it got halfway. So the NCAA is going to say all the guys that were, you know, athletes are going to have eligibility again next year. Well, what does that do to the incoming freshmen? What does that do to the numbers? That's just an example. You shut down, Live Nation announced they were going to, you know, shut down their tours. Well, apparently it's just the big ones, unless that's changed since yesterday. I mean, they shut down the venues here. That means your parking lot attendants, your restaurants that benefit from that, the ushers, the ticket takers, you know, all those things. It's unbelievable to try to think about the ramifications of all of this.
Right. How about a vendor who already has something planned for October? Now they're just supposed to pick up and show up to Coachella because they've decided to change it. Like, I know that Coachella people are going to sell the general public on, we'll just have it another day. In feasibility, it really doesn't make much sense. Now, talking out of both sides of my mouth, if any operation was able to get you to cancel part of your tour to include yourself on a Coachella lineup, the Coachella could do it. You know, if insert band here has a couple of shows in October or September that coincide with the new date of Coachella, probably choosing Coachella.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably choosing Coachella.
Well, but that's a good point. What about those other events? Everything keeps rescheduling to not everything. The few things that I have seen, October seems to be a popular month to reschedule for. I mean, how many things can you put on in October? What if you already had one?
Well, I live in a city where it's a festival and a parade every single day. Yeah. So September and October could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's I don't think we know. And you know what? It's interesting. We haven't even talked about, in our case, the elephant in the room, which is Bonnaroo. I can't imagine what was going through Ashley Capp's head this week. You know, on Tuesday, they announced they're going to go on with Big Ears. And then Thursday morning, he has to announce, Ashley Capps has to announce that they're not going to do it. I can't imagine what that 36 hours or whatever was like. They have not announced anything that I know of regarding Bonnaroo. I am assuming they're holding out to the very last minute.
Yeah, I mean, why would they? And that's the thing that none of us can predict is, you know, you get the Chinese version of the CDC saying that they're on the backside of it 3 months in, and they're starting to see a decline in cases. You know, we don't know when the decline of virus is going to begin, or maybe it already has. We don't know. So if you're Bonnaroo, why would you even risk saying anything right now? That's like back to your sports analogy, the NFL. There's no reason for them to do anything. They can have free agency. They can own the space, the new space of the sports world for a month until everybody starts to figure their stuff out. Bonnaroo's lucky because they're in June. And by the way, they're really lucky because they own their own space.
Yes.
If they were to reschedule it at insert time here, I feel like they would have a lot easier of a time making something happen. Now, of course, lineups are going to change, but I feel like Bonnaroo is in a much better spot than anybody else.
Yeah, that's a great point. They don't have to get anybody else's approval. They own the space. I mean, they'd have to work with the state and the county and the city there to get support. But I would think that's not that big a deal.
I think Manchester will be okay. Yeah, I think they're going to be okay with it.
But that's the question, and that's where it gets into who knows what actually. The Masters postponed. I'm going to guess there's somebody on the board down there at Augusta National that has a phone number of somebody that's kind of important. Does that mean they know more than we do? Does that mean they, you know, most of the reports predict that the spike is coming, that the numbers that you
Barry, start that over. You cut out.
Most of the reports that we're seeing predict that the spike is yet to happen, that the numbers you read earlier, you know, are the beginning of the graph, the parabolic graph or whatever. And I think that's what a lot of these NASCAR, NBA, Masters, I think that's what they're predicting, is that at some point we're going to start to see a huge spike in the number of cases. And that's what they're trying to prevent by doing all this. But who knows?
No, I understand. And it does make a lot of sense. And I said this to the wife a couple of days ago. Is it really going to kill us all just to be at home for a few weeks? You know, it almost is like one of these things where, like, it sort of is baffling that we don't just go ahead and do this. I actually do think that there's going to be a conversation. Maybe I'll start it. Maybe I'll be the only one having a conversation. We should self-quarantine for like 3-4 weeks out of the year where we just don't leave the house. We all just stay inside and we don't really talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Brian Stone already does that. Yeah.
He's always been ahead of the curve.
We really all should just like not leave the house, all of us collectively, and let the whole universe and the planet sort of like get its bearings back for a second.
You know, how do you think that would work at the office if you said, nah, I'm self-quarantining for the next week?
I think that it should be an option. I think it should be an option. We get vacation, we get sick leave, and then we get self-quarantine time. I'll be honest. I think
self-quarantining. No questions asked. Don't ask me why. I'm just self-quarantining.
The other piece. Oh, sorry, Taco. Yeah.
I was going to say I work from home all the time anyways, so it's pretty much business as usual for me.
The other piece of news that I got that Saturday is that, you know, you still have a festival that hasn't announced their lineup. Lollapalooza was 2 weeks away from announcing their lineup. Now they're not announcing anything. They've shut down the idea of even announcing who they have, and it's too bad because the lineup was pretty good. You know, there's going to be some familiar, you know, faces on that lineup from Bonnaroo. It was going to be young, as it always is, but there are certain festivals that I know are affected much more than Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo, to me, seems like a self-contained thing, but when you find a city festival, that's more problematic to me. That's a big, big problem when you have an already volatile situation with a city, and then you add 80,000 people on top of it. Bonnaroo just being by itself, not really interacting with a major city, other than maybe Nashville, for some cases, seems a little bit easier on the palate. But maybe I'm just, you know, maybe I'm just making that up.
Well, they also, you know, they already said that Exit 111 isn't happening this year. So Bonnaroo's got a completely open calendar if they had to move.
Yeah, they've got all of October. It's nice in October.
I was there.
Very, very nice.
Didn't hate the weather.
Yeah. No, it was nice. And, you know, you wonder about War Chest. They've done this now almost 20 years. So I would assume they have a fairly decent War Chest over almost 20 years. Some of these city festivals, you know, if they get heavy rain, they can survive maybe 1 year. Yeah. But not two.
But you know, maybe I tried to ask and they sidestepped me, but didn't I ask about a War Chest? Oh, I did. I asked if they saved money some years for lineups the next year, and they said absolutely not. So that's a little differently. That's a different answer. Yeah.
No, I mean, they have to figure, knowing what I know about festivals, they have to bank on that bad year when rain just crushes them, you know, or whatever weather. just crushes them, and they can't survive too many of those.
There's no way you have two date moves in you.
Right.
You get one, and right. you hope to God the next year can make back up some of the revenue loss. All right. So what does it look like? And I don't mean to get too woe is me, sky is falling, but what does Bonnaroo look like if it happens some other time other than June? Do you think that some of the installations are not there? Obviously, you can probably, you know, scratch 25% of the lineup off just because of scheduling problems. Are you trying to condense it? Do they change the schedule? Do they rearrange people and take away a day? Do you really get there on a Wednesday night? I'm just trying to think of the options of things. How does it look? How does it feel if it's in October? Worst case scenario,
I think we have two good examples, 2016 and Exit 111. You know, 2016, Brad, if you remember, they moved the silent disco. They moved
and
everything
they
in.
They moved the hill.
And then, no, they didn't. They moved everything around to make it feel. You and I commented, because we'd been there for many years, we noticed all the changes. For somebody who that was their first year, they didn't know. It felt like a big, giant, full festival. And as our friend Ken says, it never's not great. You know, good festival.
Before you get too crazy about that, they moved the walls in to make it a smaller space because the attendance was off.
Correct.
I'm going to bet that if Bonnaroo happens in October, it's still going to bring 85,000.
Oh, you think so?
000.
Okay.
I don't think the actual attendance will change. I'm wondering what the actual festival looks like when you have to rearrange vendors, artists.
Well, that's I guess that's what I was thinking.
You think there'd be an attendance drop off if it happens?
Man, people have school,
in September,
people
October?
Have work. I would be curious if 80,000 is able to show up because of school, work, other priorities, you know, other things on the calendar. You and I, me, especially me and Taco, it's a 60-minute ride. It's going to be a little more difficult for you now that you're living where you are. But, you know, the folks that are in Seattle and Dallas and Orlando, I mean, it's a bit.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point. We talked to some of our Patreons, like how exactly do they rearrange a flight and their work schedules to take off a week for Bonnaroo in September and October? I mean, that's a good point. I forget a lot about that.
Yeah, we could leave for the farm right now if we wanted to.
Yep. Yep. See you
and
in a minute.
Be there before the show's over.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. So it's a lot easier.
All right. So, okay. So it's a smaller footprint. It's a smaller amount of attendees. What do you think the lineup looks like?
Well, let me add one more thing. We talked to the Spicy Pie guy last year. This is all he does is what, a handful of festivals. I mean, does he mothball everything in the fall? I don't remember when his actual working schedule is, but
you think he mothballs the Spicy Pies?
Yeah, he said he doesn't have a storefront. He just does a handful of festivals. Now, you know, can he mothballs is maybe not the right idea for food. Do you know what I meant?
You agree. You were going to get there one way or the other, I thought.
I got it. You know, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Do they gear back up? Do they shut down now for the next 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, and try to make their money back in October? Talk to our friend, one of our friends at AC, who and his friend owns a restaurant. Just being shut down for a week is going to cost her like $70,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, the ramifications again, I mean, how many of these vendors can survive not having a summer of festivals?
Well, here's where I and I'm not going to try and beat up on Bonnaroo or Coachella, but here's where I get a little irritated. I guarantee you the reason why Coachella is postponing is because if they give you a festival to go to, they cannot refund your money. It is on you to get there on the dates that are provided. I highly doubt they're going to offer a refund for if they actually go through with a festival, I highly doubt they're going to offer you the ability to refund your money. No matter how hard it is to get there, I don't think they're going to care. And I don't think they're going to give the same allowance either to the vendors. If you've signed up, you're obligated and your money is now. Now, the problem with the vendors for them is that they get a cut or they pay an overall fee. So they pay the overall fee or you can pay a daily cut of your profits. I'm probably guessing that you're not going to be able to get out of that either. So you either show up or you don't. The festival's going to happen. That's why I think these things are postponing and not canceling so that they can save, you know, at least on their bottom line, which is a tad irritating to me, but I understand.
Some of that is true. AC canceled, the city closed down our Tivoli and Auditorium, which meant that all those shows, which AC books for us in Chattanooga, they are trying to reschedule them. They did say in their release that your ticket that you bought will be good for the reschedule. If they have to cancel, they will refund. To your point, that is not an easy, that's an expensive decision, but I think it's the right one. And again, I can't imagine. I'm not sure I would like to have been in those rooms when they were having the discussions, but it would have been interesting because this is unprecedented, obviously. Another example, all the events that were scheduled at our trade and convention center have canceled and they're talking about layoffs already. They think they can, you know, survive a week or two. So,
but that's absurd. Hang on a second. This is what I'm fearing. I'm fearing that people, bad business decisions are going to be made with the cover of coronavirus. You know, you are not running a very good business if you are the size of a CVB, a Convention and Visitors Bureau, and you only have 2 weeks of wiggle room to pay your people. That is a convenient out, a convenient excuse, and pretty lame.
Could be. 2008, when the economy tanked, there were reports of a lot of businesses using it as an excuse to get rid of employees. There's no question. And somebody's going to do it. I mean, you know, like I said, this guy has 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer. What in the heck was he thinking?
If we are really a week, this has been just, this whole thing is really only a week, 2 weeks old, right? The heavy duty part of it, right? Now you've got a president who called it a hoax 9 days ago, but it doesn't matter. This has been the meat of it. How about giving it a couple more weeks? How about if you run an operation, you just let this simmer for a second and reevaluate your business decisions here in a couple of weeks. Your people matter enough to give them a shot at letting this thing cycle through and end before you start going on, you know, massive layoffs.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where the conspiracy theorists, you know, I read a lot of these books and that's where your brain can go down that road and say, these people must know something, you know, they wouldn't just cancel the Masters or postpone it or whatever if they didn't know something.
Yeah. Like for instance, Masters, they're going to play the Masters. They won't give a damn if they have to play it in October, November, December. Yeah. Two straight tournaments next April. They're gonna play the Masters.
They're gonna play it. Yeah. Yes. But I don't know, man. It's a fair question.
There's one festival in particular we have not talked about because they've remained eerily silent except for one announcement. That would be Hangout Festival. Have I missed any news about Hangout Festival?
While you talk, I'll look. Not that I know of, no.
Okay. I don't either. And I think that this is the one that's going to be, they're in the weirdest position because their timing is so strange because they might catch this pretty well. There's still 2 months to go. And so they can, and by the way, they've already sold out. So they can basically sit around and wait for all of this to sort of shake itself out. Now, if we are in something that is far worse than maybe some of us understand or think, then we're all in it. But they're at May 19th. They've got some time to wiggle. And last Sunday, they dropped this little piece of information that they're now sponsored by Corona. So... I don't foresee the Hangout Festival, knowing the ownership group like I do, I don't foresee them canceling at all.
They don't have anything on their website, and that's a month basically before Bonnaroo. So
yeah, they've got, but they're in a tight window. They need this all to, I guess, come to fruition one way or the other. They've got about 3 weeks, don't you think? Don't you think they have about 3-4 weeks before they have to make a call?
Yeah, I think this next week will be very telling. The next 10 days will be very telling. Yeah. I think we'll know. I mean, so much happened. When you called me Sunday night, it felt, you know, pretty urgent. But by Wednesday, it was beyond urgent. I mean, it was, yeah, it was, stuff was happening by the minute. We started creating a list of closings, just to give you an idea, at the paper. I think Wednesday there were three things, and now it's just almost as fast as you can open it up to add something.
Might as well make it a list of what's actually open.
I know, right? Okay. Just it's what's closed. Everything. It's one word. It's pretty simple.
But see, that's the weird thing. You guys are living in a world where everything, literally restaurants are closed. Nothing here is closed. Nothing.
Who's right? I mean,
events are canceled.
Who's right?
I don't know. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I was in a restaurant for lunch yesterday, and a woman, while I was there for 15 minutes, she might have coughed 25 times. at some point, somebody needs to ask her to leave. You know,
we had a guy, one of our editors, Bed Bath & Beyond, and picked up a candle and took a big sniff, and it immediately caused him to sneeze, and the guy next to him picked up his 4-year-old and ran out the door.
If you sneeze in public right now, you're public enemy.
Well, and that's the thing. It's spring. Yeah. Hay fever is about to kick in. I mean, somebody's going to get killed over this thing. They're going to sneeze on somebody. And
I walked out to my car the other day, and there was about 1.5 inches of pollen on it. And I said, I'm screwed. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm going to be.
I mean, we're laughing, but it's going to happen.
I'm going to be beaten in the streets.
Yeah, because of your allergies.
Yeah. This is why I'm self-quarantining, just because I don't want to face any judgment. I don't want anyone to judge me for my allergies. Staying at home. But other than that, you have any? You feeling good? Everybody feeling all right?
Yeah, everybody here is good.
We're good.
I can't think of.
Here's why we are the three most powerful immune systems in all of podcasting, is because I am convinced that last December, when I got the flu, I actually got coronavirus. They're saying there are tons of cases that they're finding people getting infected long before they knew what this was. I'm convinced that I had it because it was the most bizarre, strange flu I've ever had. It's the weirdest feeling I've ever had. I don't even know how to explain it. But then within hours, I transmitted it to Taco. Taco then gave it to his girlfriend. I gave it to Barry Corder. Barry Corder gave it to his wife.
Who'd never get sick.
So you guys, I'll just go ahead and say, you're welcome.
You're welcome. It was truly the weirdest illness I've ever had.
Same here.
I've never sneezed and coughed so much in my life.
I've never been able to move my arm less. You know how you sleep on your arm and your arm will go dead?
Yeah.
My whole body was like that.
Well, here's the other
way
thing.
I could literally function and move my body parts.
Here's my other admission. I didn't even want to have any whiskey. I didn't eat.
Were sick.
And I didn't have any. Yeah, usually I like a hot toddy when I'm sick, you know, to clear the chest. Didn't want to touch it.
I'll go you one step better. For 5 days, I didn't wear any hair product.
Ooh, there we go. This is full disclosure here today, isn't it?
That's where you would insert like a sting music right there.
We're telling tales.
I leave the crowd agasp. Yeah. So, you know, I'm guessing, I don't know. I have no facts to back that up. I'm just, you know, it's total conjecture, but it was a feeling like I've never felt before. And I did give it to damn near everyone that I was around. I've never been that contagious, and I've never, like, you could have drawn everyone's sickness straight back to me. And that just something about all of that just never really added up.
Well, I know I'm going to be fine because I have the Bonnaroo couch in my house now.
It's a great point. It is it is the natural immunity to all illnesses.
You know what kind of cultures are living on that thing?
Yeah. You know, the guys, the you know, Daniel and Charlotte, they've got the Roo bus. We've got the Roo couch. Why can't we have a whole account just for the couch?
I think we could.
Yeah, what's the couch doing today?
Oh, right.
Just sitting there being a couch. What's it doing tomorrow? Still a couch.
You should put a camera on it.
Taco. Ooh, you do a live couch.
Like the eagle's nest.
Taco, you're the reason why we call Taco this is he's the lord of tweeting and communicating online. Will you create a Roo couch account?
Probably by the end of this episode, there'll be one.
And if we could get a live stream, just pointing at the couch, that would be amazing.
I mean, you've got
plenty of, you know, spy cams in that house of yours. Just point one right there at the Roo couch.
I wonder what the Roo couch, what the Camp Nut Butter couch is doing.
The Camp
today.
Nut Butter couch.
Just checking in.
I can put the marquee up above it.
Please do. Please do. We need some friends.
All right. So what are we doing?
Anything else that we want to
What are we doing? We're going to put this one up this week, and we're going to put Bonnaroulette next week. Is that
not Bonnaroulette? And well, you know, and by the way, you know, we're not going to stop the ticket giveaway. So, you know, if you still want to share us, like us, and get the word out, please do. The What_podcast on Twitter, the What podcast on Instagram. What is our Instagram there, by the way, Russ? I forgot.
It's just the What podcast.
The What podcast. Man, consistent branding. We're really good at that. The What_podcast on Twitter, the whatpodcast.com. Share us, get us out there, and we'll find somebody and give tickets away here in the upcoming weeks.
Hey, Brad, what about should we mention the gift bags to the Patreons even when those
We do have to. We're putting those together very soon, I promise. Piecemeal by piecemeal, they're all coming together. I guess we're done with the mixtapes, right? The mixtapes are ready to go?
We have a lot of mixtapes.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a few more to create of yours, and then be good to go. That's what made me think of it.
Yeah, we got to get some shirts and koozies together. I'll be honest with you, that's on me. I've had a couple of things going on.
I've been a little busy, and that's why I wanted to mention it, just to let people know we hadn't forgot.
I've had about 12 to 14 straight days of like 12 to 14 hour days. So it's been nonstop for a little while, but soon enough, I promise, soon enough.
That's a lot coming from somebody who usually works 4 hours a day.
Oh my God. It was 12 to 14 minutes usually.
Hey, you know, you mentioned
a little bit different.
And I did want to say this. You mentioned Daniel and Charlotte, the Roo bus, and I kind of wanted to put it out there when we were talking today, but the whole radiate positivity thing, you know, even though we're talking about this virus, it is important. And that's one of the great things that I think Bonnaroo does is that sort of attitude. And so hopefully everything will work out.
Well, yeah,
it will.
Yeah, I think that there is definitely a serious tone to take, and you have to acknowledge the facts on the ground. It is remarkable how differently those facts are being transmitted in good ways and bad ways across the country. I'm still standing. By the way, the other problem that I have is that I just don't have the time and the energy and the resources to invest into a lot of this conspiracy theory stuff and freaking out about every case. I don't have it in me. But you know, our company,
it's my job.
It's your job. Exactly. I know. And I'll be honest with you, up until Thursday, the company that I work for now, they took it seriously, but then they really amped it up on Wednesday and Thursday. And I had to start, you know, being on conference calls and video chats, and it really, really hit, and it became my entire life the last couple of days. And for somebody who was in a completely different world mindset wise, I was dropped into coronavirus land, and I was like looking around, it's like, what in the world is happening in the world? So I've been a tad removed from it, but you know, I really do think that's that call I made to you on Sunday after I got that information about Coachella, that Monday changed everything.
Yeah.
I think Coachella changed it all. And you know, it's weird to say that a music festival changed everything, but to have something that big,
well, you could argue South by did. South by is the one that sort of was the first domino.
Good point.
Coachella, that call Sunday, seriously, was big. That was the one. And I reached out, honestly, I don't think he would mind me saying, I reached out right after you called to Ted Heinig at AC and reached out to Ken in New York. And that Monday morning, yeah, it's been crazy ever since. So you're not wrong that Coachella was the big domino, but South by was probably the first.
Yeah, and you got to give that Festival, who, by the way, we still don't know who he is.
That guy, give him, man, he's killing it.
I know.
He or she, they don't even reveal their gender.
He or she knows all.
I have talked to I've talked to this person in the past, and this person has a few other people that run that account, from what I remember. I don't know if it's still like that, but at the time I talked to that person, they had like two or three different people
that
running.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. There's no way that one person could be that clued in.
Well, yeah, they're
doing a great job.
I was a little like he. And good for him. I mean, he put the information out there, or him or her put the information out there and was able to, you know, keep themselves cloaked in, you know, privacy. If I would have put that information out, the person that gave me the information would have seen it and would have known, and I would have been in big trouble.
Yeah.
I would have been in big, big trouble.
Welcome to my world every day.
Yeah, I understand. Anything else we should cover before we get out of here, huh? Anything?
Not that I can think of. Okay. Are we going to, I'll ask this because I think probably listeners may wonder too. Are we going to try to stay pretty on top of this or not?
I mean,
if something happens in the next 4 days, are we going to do it again? That type of thing.
My inclination is no.
Okay.
Look, here's the reason why. And I'll be totally honest with you, and this is, you know, basically, you know, me and Barry talking on the phone at this point, but there's not much that we're going to say that is not going to be said by somebody else.
Correct.
And I don't really like living in that world. If I have something different or something else to offer, then maybe. But getting on here and just doing a news report, I don't know if that makes, I don't know if that moves the needle at all.
How about the other side of it then? Things like Bonnaroulette, and we have an interview with Larkin Poe, which I did. Yeah. Do we want to continue on as if not happening, or, you know what I mean? Is it disrespectful to?
That's a good question. I don't know. My inclination is to just keep pumping out content as if we're going and as if we're going to be there.
Okay.
But you make a good point to, you know, does it come across as a tad insensitive? And I just don't know. And that's a question for, you know, the Bonnaroovian listening to this right now. Total honesty, you know, we don't know.
I don't want to appear tone deaf, but I also don't want, you know, the world to stop. So
yeah, okay. Well, let us know what you think. The What_podcast on Twitter, the What Podcast on Instagram, the whatpodcast.com. Leave us a comment. Taco, thank you so much for your new couch Twitter account. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, Barry Corder for your news acumen. Me for my really shitty coffee this morning. Other than that, we'll talk to you on Bonnaroulette next week. Hey.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.